Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, Numbers 771 to 850. M.R. Number 816. Nearness and Delay of the Second Advent. Our work is to prepare a people for the soon coming of the Lord. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Let us consider the work before us. Never forget, we are laborers together with God. We are to prepare the way of the Lord. Let us bind ourselves to His sacred work. We have no time to lose in inaction. We must provide facilities for the accomplishment of the missionary work that the Lord has said must be done. We must teach old and young, men and women, to lay up treasure beside the throne of God. 25. 1902, page 7. To those in responsible positions in the Southern Field, February 5, 1902. Coming delayed to allow a larger span for repentance. Who will say God will not do what He says He will do? Let God be true, but every man a liar. Romans 3, verse 4. The Lord is coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on those sinners who know not God and obey not His gospel. And because, in His infinite mercy, He delays His coming to give the world a larger span for repentance, sinners flatter themselves that He will never come. In the public press, in the haunts of sin, as well as in the schools of science, so-called, there is one sentiment. They curl the lips with scorn and jest and ridicule at the warnings given them, and look upon the thousands who will not believe. Jests are uttered, witty paragraphs published at the expense of those who wait and look for His appearing, and who with fear, like Noah, prepare for the event. This is not new, but as old as sin. It is as false as the father of lies. When ministers, farmers, merchants, lawyers, great men and professedly good men shall cry, "Peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh." Luke reports the words of Christ, that the day of God comes as a snare, the figure of an animal prowling in the woods for prey, and lo, suddenly he is entrapped in the concealed snare of the fowler. Delay of Christ's coming will seem short in eternity. Dear brethren and sisters, Christ is soon to come. Will He find you ready and waiting? The bridal lamps must be kept trimmed and burning. His chariot wheels have been delayed because of His long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have eternal life. When we shall stand with the redeemed upon the sea of glass, with harps of God and crowns of glory, and before us the unmeasured eternity, we shall then see how short was the waiting period of probation. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Luke 12, verse 37. Investigative judgment for the living soon to begin. I address you who shall have this epistle brought before you, who are leaders, who may be termed princes among the people. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Isaiah 52, verse 11. Humble your souls before God. Jesus is in the sanctuary. We are in the great day of atonement, and if the investigative judgment has not already commenced for the living, it will soon begin. And to how many are the words of the true witness applicable? I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. Revelation 3, verse 1-3. The cases of all will be brought up in the judgment. And if their sins are not confessed, their names will then be blotted from the book of life, and their lot will be with the adulterers, and the fornicators, and deceivers, and those who love and make a lie. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verses 4, 5. Though anxious for heaven, Ellen White. Not in a hurry. I am much blessed of the Lord, although very much burdened, and I love Jesus with my whole affections. I think our warfare must be nearly ended. I think we are nearing home. I am rejoiced to think the rest will soon come. But even here in this hope, I am not in a hurry. I want to do all my work with patience and fidelity day by day. There are many souls to be saved, and we will be glad that the coming of the Lord is delayed to give them a little more opportunity to get ready. But once saved in the kingdom of God, only think of it, once beyond the temptations and warfare of this life, once in the haven of rest, in the presence of our adorable Redeemer, what will it be? These light afflictions, Paul says, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, 18. God help us to look at the brightness of our Savior's countenance, and clouds will be dispelled. We must have more faith. 1844. Date not revealed in vision. Before the disappointment, it was this oft-repeated charge of suppression that led us to determine to gather up all my earliest publications and republish in the book called Early Writings by Mrs. E. G. White. We printed this little book to be scattered everywhere that all might, if they chose, become acquainted with facts. But this did not, only for a time, quiet their reports. They came again, just as fresh as though that book had never been printed. I was a firm believer in definite time in 1844, but this prophetic time was not shown me in vision, for it was some months after the passing of this period of time before the first vision was given me. There were many proclaiming a new time after this, but I was shown that we should not have another definite time to proclaim to the people. All who are acquainted with me and my work will testify that I have borne but one testimony in regard to the setting of the time. I have been shown that our disappointment in 1844 was not because of failure in the reckoning of prophetic periods, but in the events to take place. The earth was believed to be the sanctuary, but the sanctuary which was to be cleansed at the end of the prophetic periods was the heavenly sanctuary, and not the earth as we all supposed. The Savior did enter the most holy place in 1844 to cleanse the sanctuary, and the investigative judgment had commenced for the dead. I have been repeatedly urged to accept the different periods of time proclaimed for the Lord to come. I have ever had one testimony to bear. The Lord will not come at that period, and you are weakening the faith of even Adventists and fastening the world in their unbelief. There have been plainly set before me events of great and thrilling interest, which must transpire before Christ will come. Satan will move mightily from beneath and will delude the world, while the Lord God Omnipotent will move from above and prepare a people to stand in the great day of his wrath. The time setters have pronounced the curse of the Lord upon me as an unbeliever who said, "My Lord delayeth his coming." But I have told them that the books of heaven would not make my record thus, for the Lord knows that I loved and longed for the appearing of Christ. But their oft-repeated message of definite time was exactly what the enemy wanted, and it served his purpose well to unsettle the faith in the first proclamation of time, which was of heavenly origin. The world placed all time proclamation on the same level and called it a delusion, fanaticism, and heresy. Ever since 1844, I have borne my testimony that we were now in a period of time in which we are to take heed to ourselves, lest our hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon us unawares. Our position has been one of waiting and watching, with no time proclamation to intervene between the close of the prophetic periods in 1844 and the time of our Lord's coming. We do not know the day, nor the hour, or when the definite time is, and yet the prophetic reckoning shows us that Christ is at the door. We have not cast away our confidence, neither have we a message dependent upon definite time, but we are waiting and watching unto prayer, looking for and loving the appearing of our Savior, and doing all in our power for the preparation of our fellow men for that great event. We are not impatient. If the vision tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not tarry. Although disappointed, our faith has not failed, and we have not drawn back to perdition. The apparent tarrying is not so in reality, for at the appointed time our Lord will come, and we will, if faithful, exclaim, "Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us." Isaiah 25, verse 9. I have also been pronounced a deceiver because I have said, "The Lord will soon come." Get ready. Get ready that ye may be found waiting, watching, and loving his appearing. But in the Revelation I read this statement, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Revelation 22, verse 12. "Behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Revelation 22, verse 7. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Revelation 3, verse 11. Was the one who bore this testimony a deceiver, because the quickly has been protracted longer than our finite minds could anticipate? It is the faithful and true witness that speaks. His words are verity and truth. If I have failed to make this matter plain which you wish to understand, write me again, and I will endeavor to make every point plain and clear. But I must plead not guilty to the charge of seeing in vision that the Lord would come at a definite day and hour, which has since passed by. Reason for establishment of Seventh-day Adventist colleges. What is the object of establishing colleges among Seventh-day Adventists? It is to provide for our youth, so far as possible, the very best instruction, that which is free from error and in every respect pure from corrupting influences. There are in our land schools in abundance where education in the sciences may be carried to a high point, but they fail to reach the Bible standard of education. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Lord must preside in our institutions of learning, or the object for which they were brought into existence, with great outlay of means, will fail of being accomplished. We profess to believe important truth, that the Lord is soon coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory to take the faithful to the higher school in the mansions he has gone to prepare for them. We should meet a standard very much higher than do those who do not believe these solemn truths. We are to be ever ready for Christ's coming. We want to understand our proper relation to God. We want to know how we stand in the presence of God. I want you to see that it is not in the providence of God that any finite man shall, by any device or reckoning that he may make of figures, or of symbols, or of types, know with any definiteness in regard to the very period of the Lord's coming. What shall we know? We are to study the signs which show that he is at the door. You may say, "I have expected it, and I have waited a long time, and the Master has not come yet. And this long time of waiting makes me think that he is not coming." Just so those foolish virgins began to think. They did not have any supply of grace to enable them to stand the test or trial. Yes, it takes time, and God knew it. And he takes time to test us and to prove us, to see who has the real, genuine righteousness of Christ. And he will test us to see if we can bear with patience, waiting and watching, and working as well. We may be waiting, but not in idle expectancy, saying, "I will not plant that tree because the Lord is coming. I will not do this work in building a meeting house for the people to assemble to worship God because the Lord is coming." No. If the Lord is coming, we want to work with the more diligence to uphold and to gather the Lord's sheep and to bring them into the fold. We want our colleges. Why? Because we want to bring the students out of the world, that they may leave its practices, its customs, its superstitions, and its policy, and that they may be educated as to what truth is. It means something to bring practical religion into the life. There are so many who profess godliness, and yet you cannot distinguish by their dress, by their appearance, by their conversation, by their deportment, or by any of their actions, that there is any difference between them and the world. We are to represent Jesus Christ. We are to look at his character, at his life of self-denial, patience, kindness, and forbearance. He ate with publicans and sinners, not that he might partake of their luxuries or their amusements or of their feasting, but that he might diffuse the precious gems of truth and scatter these gems as he was sitting at their table. And those precious jewels of truth which fell from his lips would remain in their hearts. And although they might not yield at once to the influence of the Spirit of God, they would be affected by them and finally yield to them. Why? Because he is drawing them all the time. 9:1891-9:10. Make proper use of talents. Sermon preached at Battle Creek, Michigan, August 22, 1891. Spending too much time getting educated in the United States, I would counsel you not to advise Pomare, a Maori student from New Zealand sent to Battle Creek to gain a training to work among his people, to remain in Battle Creek longer. Let him go to his field of labor, to use the knowledge that he has already gained, and in yoking up with Jesus Christ, he will become a laborer together with God. The loading down of one man with degree after degree of study will not take the place of learning in the school of Christ, his meekness and his lowliness of heart. Learn of me, said the greatest teacher the world ever knew, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. I was urged to send Sister Holder to Battle Creek. My purse paid her expenses, for her soul was in peril. Then I have paid, I do not know just how much, for Brother Lacey to go through his studies. Sister Caro has carried Brother Pomare, which has consumed large sums of money. I promised her I would help her bear the burden of expense, not expecting that he was to be kept years in gaining an education to work among his own people. Willie, now in New Zealand, states that he has sent for drafts from London and Battle Creek for £60 to be paid to Sister Caro to relieve her of embarrassment. Money has been sent to support Brother Linden in school. He had a very good education before he went to America, and should have been in his field of labor long since, and at work. In this country, it means much to transfer the means so essential to advance the work in fields that have not been entered, and consume this means, of which there is a dearth, in sending students to be educated in any lines to help us in the work here. And then, time is passing, and money expended, and the work moving so slowly because of the need of energetic workmen to enter the new fields and practice in the service of Christ in giving to perishing souls the light of truth, present, testing truth. We feel the need of more help, but the conference has not money to pay the expenses of laborers to return to this country or to transport laborers. We know not what to do. I am distressed over the situation. I am now paying these workers $19 per week, and they support their families and give their services. I could do more of this work if I had the money to do it with. This sum was increased until I paid £5 per week. Sunday laws in Australia. We are having interesting times for all in Australia. The pressure of the Sunday law has come and is coming. It has been ordered that all stores shall be closed on Sunday, and this is being rigidly enforced. The government is trying to have God acknowledged in the Constitution. Our people are making just as vigorous a stand as possible that it shall not be. They have been securing names to a petition to this effect. We can see that that which we have been talking about for the last 35 years, this law causing the Sunday to be exalted and making human inventions take the place of God's holy day, is now being fulfilled. There is much excitement now in regard to these matters. The second epistle of Paul should be read in connection with these things. The same work of oppression and persecution which was suffered by the saints of God in Paul's day is soon to come to all who believe in this age. Advent delayed, because work not done for the wicked, as in the days that were before the flood, the impenitent see no cause for alarm. They eat, they drink, they marry, and are given in marriage. The event has been long foretold, but time has passed on, and many distinctly say, "My Lord delayeth his coming." It is because the work has not been done for the wicked that time delays. God's long forbearance is wonderful. The Master is treated with disrespect. He receives but little thanksgiving for his bestowment of blessings. The world is mad. They do not consider that his long forbearance toward the wicked is a part of his great plan, that judgments will surely come. But the long-suffering God will do his work. He will discriminate with justice and accuracy. 151, 1898, 6. Notes of the Queensland Camp Meeting, copied November 2nd, 1898. May have to remain here many more years. Your letter from Chicago received yesterday. I am very sorry that circumstances have taken the shape that they have, but why are you so faithless? Thank the Lord that you have few students because you are not prepared for a large number. Brother Sutherland and yourself have done bravely and well, and why will you worry yourself out of the arms of your precious Savior? Has the Bank of Heaven failed? Have you overdrawn the resources? Is Christ, the light of the world, in Joseph's new tomb? Do we not read, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Hebrews 7, verse 25. Now look away from every discouraging presentation, because we have a living Christ to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. The Bank of Heaven has not failed. You have not overdrawn. Now in regard to the school, you seem to think that the plant is to put forth full bloom, lilies, roses, and pinks before the root is fully set deep to do this grand work. You must begin small, and not think that you can show all strength in establishing a school after an advanced order, taking in higher studies, and do not worry about leading teachers or under-teachers before you have sufficient students to warrant the steps you take. Let not human pride hurt your record. Do not you suppose the Lord sees and is acquainted with the favorable and unfavorable presentations? Has not the Lord an oversight over his own work? You may suppose, my brethren, that you have to do all the devising, all the strengthening, and all the organizing, and I ask you, is it not best to show that you have confidence in God? Is it not best to consider that our God is manager, that he is director? You must not be anxious to develop too fast. The hand of Providence is holding the machinery. When that hand starts the wheel, then all things will begin to move. How can finite man carry the burdens of responsibility for this time? His people have been far behind. Human agencies under the divine planning may recover something of what is lost because the people who had great light did not have corresponding piety, sanctification, and zeal in working out God's specified plans. They have lost to their own disadvantage what they might have gained to the advancement of the truth if they had carried out the plans and will of God. Man cannot possibly stretch over that gulf that has been made by the workers who have not been following the divine leader. We may have to remain here in this world because of insubordination many more years, as did the children of Israel. But for Christ's sake, his people should not add sin to sin by charging God with the consequence of their own wrong course of action. Now, have men who claim to believe the word of God learned their lesson that obedience is better than sacrifice? He hath showed thee, this rebellious people, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Micah 6, verse 8. Now the Lord will not be pleased with those men whom he hath appointed to do a certain work, to take on many lines of work and carry them until they become so wearisome that it breaks their strength. You, nor any other agency, cannot heal the hurt that has come to God's people by neglect to lift up his standard and occupy new territory. The churches should now be acting in their strength, with capabilities, talents, and means, carrying the work, reaching higher and broader in capacity to stand before the world in the power of invincible truth. But if all now would only see and confess and repent of their own course of action in departing from the truth of God and following human devising, then the Lord would pardon. Warnings have been coming, but they have been unheeded. But a few who may now seek to bridge the gulf that stands so offensively before God must make haste slowly, else the standard bearers will fail, and who will take their place? Now, my brother, I am deeply sorry for you and your family. I reproach thee not for thy zeal, for if others had shared thy burdens as they should have done, the work would have been far advanced. But now, just now, you must come apart and rest a while. Be not concerned in regard to your wages. God will not leave you without some help and comfort for yourself, your wife, and little ones. Be of good courage in the Lord. Trust him fully. Let the Lord carry the burden of the school. You are not to become loaded down with burdens that will accomplish only the work that finite man can do. When you put your trust wholly in God, then you will see in every passage of your experience one going before you, preparing the way. I cannot tell you what you should do, but I can tell you what not to do. Do not worry, be not unbelieving, and do not think that you can blossom into a perfect school at its very planting on new soil. You must remember that it takes time to plant and to perfect that plant. You just hold fast every inch you have. 184, 1901, pages 1 to 6. To Professor Megan during the early months of his endeavor to establish the college at Berrien Springs, Michigan. Written at South Lancaster, Massachusetts, December 7th, 1901. How E.G. White faced the future and Christ's coming. The Lord is soon to come, and I must be prepared to meet him in peace. I am sure that the world is ripening for the last great conflict. I am determined to do all in my power to impart light to those around me. I am not to be sad, but cheerful, and I am to keep the Lord Jesus ever before me. He is coming soon, and we must be ready and waiting for his appearing. Oh, how glorious it will be to see him and be saved through his merits. Long we have waited, but our faith is not to become weak. It is to grow stronger as we see the signs of the times fulfilling. The end is near, and we are to put all our energies into the work of preparing to move from this lower school to the school above. How early Advent believers reacted to the delay in Christ's coming. The light is shining forth upon the fourth commandment. God is opening the understanding of many to see that they have been breaking the Lord's Sabbath. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Revelation 11, verse 9. Calling, as it were, the attention of the people to the law of God covered by the mercy seat. And the angels are represented as all looking reverentially into that law. God has made us the repositories of his law. What a responsibility is ours to form characters in harmony with the law of God. We are drawing nearer and still nearer the solemn event of our Lord's appearing. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3, verse 3. There has been a spirit of freedom in the meetings. The testimonies born seemed to be spirited and had the right ring. Precious gifts have been entrusted to men. We may improve or abuse them. If we will wisely improve them, we may make those within the sphere of our influence better, and we will be enriching ourselves with moral power to be a light to others who are in darkness. This is the scene of your father's, James White's, earlier labors. Quite a number refer to that time when they first heard the message of Christ's near coming from his lips. They were deeply interested, although they were but children. The impression has never left them, for they were then convicted and their hearts imbued by the Spirit of God which accompanied the message. Now they are in middle age and understand more fully the doctrine and have a more firm and rich experience in present truth. They speak of their hopes and faith with animated countenance, looking forward and hastening unto the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The message of the third angel sounding in solemn warning calls their minds to the sacred truths which once affected their hearts so sensibly. The Lord is good. He is very precious to His people. 31, 1875, pages 3, 4. Written from Richmond, Maine, to W. C. White, September 3, 1875. Danger of not bringing the Lord's coming as near as one should. I saw that for some time past, Sister J. has had a rebellious spirit, has been self-willed, that her will had not yet been broken, that that will was her idol, and that that idol would shut her out of heaven unless speedily sacrificed. I saw that she did not bring the coming of the Lord as near as she should, and that her mind, instead of being at Rochester, New York, should be all swallowed up in the work of God, and she should be seeking opportunities to help her husband, to hold up his hands, and to labor wherever there was an opportunity. White Estate, Washington, D.C., September 10th, 1980.